Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Songs in the Key of X. I am your moderately socially acceptable host, Jeffrey X. Martin of Biff Bam Pop, recording in the woods again, which are dry and brittle because guess what? It hasn't rained here in a month! Particular prayer does not apply to you people affected by hurricanes and or tropical storms, by the way. Looking at you, Louisiana and Texas. I mean, I'm an asshole, but I'm not a... Never mind. I've said before that I will happily consider your ideas for show topics, and this one was not my idea. It was my wife's, actually. So while you can blame the idea on her, the content is all me.
It's me, Austin!
Oh, son of a bitch!
What? It's me, Austin!
One of the great things we do as humans is sing together. I mean, there are a lot of other things we do in pairs, but creating music as a team is pretty great. My wife and I sing together, and we do other things together. Okay, sometimes the execution is off, but the concept is good, you know? That counts for singing, too. We're doing duets on Key of X this week. Here are a bunch of people singing songs together for your edification and entertainment, and this is number 5. Want the obvious? You'll get the obvious, but let's go ahead and get it out of the way. This is Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers with Stevie Nicks. The song Stop Dragging My Heart Around. This was the first single from Stevie's album Belladonna. Now, the story behind this is fairly simple. Tom Petty and his guitarist, Mike Campbell, wrote the tune. But the Heartbreakers shared a producer with Stevie. The producer was Jimmy Iovine. Iovine worked his Iovine magic. And before you know it, there was a duet. Now, the legend is that Stevie was a Petty super fan. Wanted to hang around the Heartbreakers all the time. Wanted to be in the Heartbreakers. Since Stevie was living with Iovine at the time, she was able to listen to mixes and playbacks, and she was down there in the basement while Tom and Jimmy were working together. In a way, she got to stalk Petty in like the most overt way possible. But it's the music that matters, and Stop Dragging My Heart Around hit number 3 on the charts. Not bad for a Florida boy and one of his biggest fans. Stalker Nicks. Stalkin' Stevie. Steve. I really hope her first name is Steven. Number 4! Liked Pearl Jam better than Soundgarden. After Pearl Jam's 4th album, I kind of faded away. I think I owned 2 Soundgarden albums and really never listened to them much. But you take the lead singers of both of those bands and slap them together, and you get one of the best songs of the grunge years, Hunger Strike by Temple of the Dog. Eddie Vedder goes low as Chris Cornell goes high on this song. This is what Eddie considers his first real song. The legend says that he was watching a rehearsal in a studio with Cornell, and he was having a difficult time finishing this song out. So Vedder, in his unassuming way, walked to the microphone and sang this bit. Turns out, that was exactly what Cornell was looking for and ended up using Vedder on the track. When Temple of the Dog was released, it did nothing. Nobody cared about an album that was a tribute to the late Andrew Wood, singer for the band Mother Love Bone. So while Temple of the Dog languished, Vedder's band, Pearl Jam, and Cornell's band, Soundgarden, both got huge. They were incredibly popular. So their label repackaged the album because suddenly they had a supergroup on their hands. Pearl Jam and Soundgarden together. I still like Stone Temple Pilots better than any of them. Hunger Strike hit number 4 on Billboard's Mainstream Rock Tracks chart because why not break everything down into the tiniest niche possible? Number 3. I've heard that lizards and frogs do it, lying on a rock. They say that roosters do it, with a diddle and cock. Some Argentines without beans do it, I read a moss and beans do it. Let's do it, let's fall in love. The soundtrack of the movie Tank Girl. That's Paul Westerberg of The Replacements and Joan Jett performing Let's Do It. This song was written in 1928 by Cole Porter. It's a Broadway song, a show tune from Porter's play Paris. It was used in other productions, of course. Perhaps in modern times, it's best known for being used in the movie version of Can-Can from 1960. Lots of dancing, petticoats, stuff like that. Its usage in Tank Girl is interesting. According to legend, Westerberg wasn't the original male vocalist for this recording. The song was originally created by Joan Jett and Bad Religion vocalist Greg Graffin. Apparently, Atlantic Records wasn't down with that, because, I don't know, Jesus or some shit. So they brought in Westerberg to re-record the male part. And you know, Tank Girl had one hell of a soundtrack. Certainly up there with modern classics like The Crow or Pretty in Pink. Lots of critics say the soundtrack is better than the film. If you go by box office numbers, those claims are borne out. Tank Girl only brought in $6 million against a $26 million budget. It's got a cult following now, though. My wife likes it a lot, and its feminist themes are more relevant now than ever. Number 2. It's the terror of knowing what this world is about. Watching some good friends screaming, get me out. Do I even have to tell you what that song is? I shouldn't. I should just go on with the show. But no, because I have a format and I have a structure for things. That's Queen and David Bowie with Under Pressure. But you knew that. It was originally released as a single in 1981, but ended up on the Queen album Hot Space in 1982. Which tells me that I saw Queen live in 1982 because it was on that tour where I saw them. Queen and Bowie came up with the song at Queen's studio in Montreux, sort of a jam session thing, based on a song that drummer Roger Taylor had been working on. But then again, some reports say that Freddie Mercury wrote the thing. Bassist John Deacon says David Bowie wrote the actual bass line, but Brian May and Roger Taylor say that Deacon wrote it. Nobody knows who wrote this friggin' song. All the members of Queen and David Bowie are credited as co-writers, so maybe it doesn't matter. The point is, Under Pressure is a great song. It's one of those classics that everybody knows. Is it the greatest song of all time? Probably not. I'm not sure that song's been written yet, but it's a really good tune, and I would feel incredibly weird not putting it on the list. Maybe this one's the most obvious song on this show. I don't know. But hopefully my number one won't be obvious, because here it is! The album Oddities, Abnormalities, and Curiosities, that's The Circle Jerks, with, of all people, Debbie Gibson. with their cover of I Want to Destroy You, originally by the Soft Boys. I'm pretty sure that at this point Debbie was calling herself Deborah Gibson in an attempt to distance herself from the teen pop queen image she had at the time. Gibson had a huge teeny bopper following, had her own fragrance called Electric Youth, wore a lot of hats. The last group one would expect her to pair up with was the Circle Jerks, the legendary hardcore punk band from LA. It was a perfect combination of mainstream and weird. The idea of those two entities getting together for the song might be better than the song itself, but damned if this song isn't memorable. Keith Morris's vocals, snotty and snarly, mix perfectly with Gibson's, who sounds like an Honor Society member trying to act mean around the tough girls. Weirdly, it works. I don't know how many people have heard it, probably more than, you know, just me, but I do know that Debbie Gibson showed up at a Circle Jerks set at CBGB and performed the song on stage. Look, anything that got Debbie Gibson to a punk club, I cannot be against. It's damn near perfect. A melding of genres, a clash of styles that should be remembered for its wackiness. Because it is wacky, and I love it. You know how this works, right? Video links below, comment section under the video links, blah blah blah. This is episode 150 of Key of X, so that means in 2 weeks it will have been a full year. How have I not missed an episode in almost an entire year? That's the kind of regularity my digestive system would skin a monkey for. I'll have a special surprise for you on that anniversary show, so please look forward to that, because we all need something to look forward to, I guess. Now I'm afraid that's going to be a disappointment. Please keep reading Viff Pam Pop, because why wouldn't you? There are words about words and toys and music and movies, and am I rushing through this ending? Maybe. I might have to go somewhere. Or maybe not. I'm in the woods! Where the shit do I have to be? Like, oh damn, I gotta be next to this tree in like 5 minutes. You don't know. That might be true. I am Jeffrey X. Martin. You've been listening to Songs in the Key of X. And until next time...
Ebony and ivory live together in perfect harmony. Side by side on my piano keyboard, oh Lord.